Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm not dead.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to my health status, you quickly realize that being not dead is just the goal.
Yeah. And after this week, I can agree with that. I've had a wonderful week of bathroom trips. But I'm still here because, damn it, we have a show to do. Jacob Garner not here right now.
No, because he sucks.
Yeah, we'll hear from him later on in the show. Carnage rating us. Carnage, how are you doing? Lady McGreet in chat. Dark Mika in chat. Everybody's here. Everyone's having a good time. How was your week? How's things going?
It was just a week. And you know what? I'm not mad at it. Like, it wasn't overwhelmingly stressful. It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't exciting. It was just a week. And sometimes
what you need.
You fucking just need a week. And that's just all it was. And I was like, man, this is good. How was your week, mister? I was puking and shitting my brains out.
Well, you kind of just described it. Yeah, I've been laid up most of the week. I spent 16 hours of Wednesday in bed.
Oof.
Yeah, and I was still like, my body just hurts. I ache. I can't, like, I'm nauseous and lightheaded. But we got shit to do.
Good job.
We got shit to do.
Yeah, we do. But good job getting a good old fashioned stomach virus.
Yeah.
I have
fucking
not had
pickles.
I haven't had a stomach virus in 2 years.
Oh, well, yeah. Lucky you.
January of 2019, and I thought I was dead. And then because the world, like, they closed school down a whole bunch over the 2019-2020 year, even before COVID.
No.
Because of the flu. We were closed for 3 weeks for the flu.
By the flu, we now know it was probably COVID.
Well, yeah. But there were not any. I mean, I'm talking like December and January and November and stuff. So there was already a lot of, like, the kids being home, not getting everything and passing it along to me. And now the schools are like, oh, next year we're going back full force, 5 days a week, no online, no mask, no social distancing. And I'm like, the fuck do you people think you're doing? So I guess I'm permanently homeschooling now.
Damn. I hate how the country is just like, yep, we're back.
No,
we
are so not
no.
bad.
What the fuck? No. Why is everything full capacity again? What the hell is going on? Like, wrestling is touring. Concerts are going on with full capacity crowds. Sports are happening with full capacity stadiums.
No.
What the fuck?
No.
Why? Yeah.
And that variant that's going around is so much worse. And it's all going to shit the bed really fast.
Dark Mika, did wrestling ever stop? No, but they did it in front of, like, no audience or in front of a virtual audience. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. So, anyway, we could talk about news while Jacob's not here. Should we talk about the big news while he's not here?
Let's do that.
Vector Unit, our friends at Vector Unit, finally confirmed what Jacob has been asking for ages. Mousebot Escape from the Cat Lab is releasing on consoles in late July. Jacob's dreams have come true, and he's not even here to talk about it.
Damn. I don't even know what this game is. I have no excitement or anything. I'm like, okay, congratulations.
It's a mobile game that's getting premiumified and ported and, you know, converted to a full release game on console.
Interesting.
Yeah. Carnage, it's a mix of racing and dodging obstacles.
Jacob would be the only person I know who would actively want a mobile game ported to console.
Well, he got his wish.
And here I am, like, can I just please get a Parasite Eve remake? The no. one that seems logical is the one that won't happen.
Well, I don't think Vector Unit's in charge of Parasite Eve.
They should be.
That would be an interesting. At
least I'd probably get a remake.
Parasite Eve racing game.
I wouldn't be mad at that either.
How fun could that be?
I just want Parasite Eve back.
Well, I can't help you there, but I could help you with some new Game Pass additions.
Sounds good. Entertain me.
New Game Pass additions. A lot of new games coming to Game Pass. Last week, we talked about the games that are leaving Game Pass. These are the replacements. Available now, we've got Medieval Dynasty on PC.
Okay.
Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, which is, depending on who you talk to, a solid action game or the worst game of the year. Yeah, it depends on who you talk to on that.
Most people that I have talked to like it, but acknowledge it needed more time.
Yeah.
So.
And then Worms Rumble. Surprise! It's on Game Pass. Ah,
that was a surprise.
Yay!
Is it on PC and console or just console?
I don't.
Wow. Look it up. I thought you were good at this host shit, Joe.
It's available now. It's Carnage says play anywhere, so there you go.
Okay, then.
Carnage doing my work for me. Thank you, Carnage.
I guess Carnage is the host now.
We should call him up. At least he'd be here, unlike Jacob.
He would be here, and he would have interrupted me 17 times.
Yeah. June 24th, PC is getting Proteus on Game Preview.
Okay.
And Iron Harvest.
I've heard good things about Proteus. I don't know what Iron Harvest is, though.
I don't know either of them.
Damn. So. Proteus looked like a shooter of some sort. Shiz was actually playing it earlier, but I didn't get to watch.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, also hitting console and PC is Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered hitting EA Play.
Woo! Not mad at that.
Yay! And then July 1st, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts is hitting cloud.
Okay.
And then actual games hitting Game Pass are Bug Fables, The Everlasting Sapling, which was a really solid Paper Mario-style RPG.
Yeah.
Gang Beasts is finally joining.
Okay. I thought it was already there.
No, it's been rumored, or it's been confirmed for months that it's just never come yet. So here it is.
Hmm.
Limbo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Immortal Realms Vampire Wars.
Nice.
And then here's the weirdest news of the Game Pass week. Space Jam, A New Legacy, the game, will be made available as a Game Pass perk.
That is an odd
like, what the hell?
I don't even know how to feel about this. I saw it and I was like, why?
I mean, I'm not going to turn it down because it's a perk. Perk, they give you a code and you redeem it and it's yours.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure this is like a freebie game. You just claim it and it's yours for good.
You know, I wouldn't be mad if that became a thing.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll hit other consoles eventually, but it is play it first on Xbox Game Pass. So Space Jam, A New Legacy, the game, if you're interested in playing, who is it? Braun in the movie?
Depends on LeBron how easy of a completion it is.
Yeah.
I was trying to look at the store to see where my perks were.
Well, that's not out until July 1st, I don't think.
Oh.
Yeah.
In that case.
Yeah, that's still a ways off.
It was under perks, so it's not yet. Yeah. So then I'll just close that back. I don't need it right now.
Yeah, so that'll be coming in the future, along with Xbox is releasing not one, not two, but three different Space Jam controllers.
Okay.
Yeah. Three. A Toon Squad, a Goon Squad, and then like their digital universe, whatever, the Sinnerverse or Sinnergerverse or whatever it is. That one looked pretty cool. That controller looks pretty badass. The other two I could do without, but that third one looks pretty baller.
I am not particularly inclined enough to be like, I need to plunk down $70 or whatever a controller is on one. But hey, if you're into it, go for it.
Yeah.
The one I saw, the like that Centerverse, whatever.
Yeah, see, I don't even remember what the fuck it is.
But that looks one, awesome. That one was the only one that looked cool to me, but you know, hey, whatever floats your boat.
The Warner Brothers one, because it has a WB logo on the front.
Does it?
Yeah. It's still cool looking, though.
Xbox just needs to buy them and get it over with. It's going to happen.
I don't know. We'll see. Something that is definitely happening is Greedfall is getting a next-gen upgrade on June 30th, and it is a free update for owners.
Oh, nice.
Yay. And then Kerbal Space Program is getting a PS5 and Series X and S release this fall. No word on if previous owners get it, but I guess we'll hear more in the future.
Interesting. Glad to see that still being supported.
Indeed. Epic Games Store database is giving away a lot of games. A bunch of Legends of Heroes games are coming over, apparently. And then two big ones that were spotted were an Alan Wake Remastered and Final Fantasy VII Remake on Epic Games Store.
Huh.
Nothing confirmed yet, obviously. It's just they've been found in the database. So are they placeholders? Are they real?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're real. I'm sure it's a matter of time. And being an Epic release sounds kind of like Square's MO.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll hear about the friggin' Epic and Xbox release soon. That'd be nice.
No.
Mark Mika, if only the fucking Final Fantasy VII Remake would come to goddamn I agree. Bring it to Xbox.
No, they're not gonna. They're gonna hold it out as long as they can.
Nah, Square wants that money. They'll release it elsewhere.
After that E3 showing, they need that money. That's my take on it.
True. Something that will be getting my money is a Castlevania Advance Collection was raided in Australia, which everyone is thinking that just going to be a collection of all the Game Boy Advance Castlevania games, and that's all the world needs.
Yeah, if you're into that, you're probably pretty happy about it.
Oh my god, if it's literally just those three games, it's worth whatever price they ask.
Goddamn. Don't say that out loud.
If they throw extras in there, or if there's any other games, like if the DS game is in there, or you know, some other hidden unlockable game, like those games are just fantastic. So, I don't know. Anyway, it's been revealed that Back 4 Blood does not have any form of offline mode, even for solo. It requires a connection. What are your thoughts on that?
As opposed to whatever, like every game does that now. So, yeah. I mean, even single player games do that shit. So, I'm not bothered by it. It's just kind of the way things are going.
Especially a game like I don't know why this has to be news.
No, it's not.
But it was. And
I feel more like you could have just like held up a sign that said Back 4 Blood and is online only, and I'd have been like, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Of course.
Speaking of online, your IP is not safe if you were playing Marvel's Avengers this week.
Yeah, that's what you get for playing a Square game.
Yeah, the latest Marvel Avengers news is that an update this week caused it to display your IP address on screen along with some other, like your username, like date and time, like some other filler text. They're saying it was just a string of random nonsense, but no, your IP address was there.
There's never a string of random nonsense when it comes to binary code that. So no, it meant something. For as shitty of a luck as that game has had, it was probably your credit card number.
Oh, man. All right. That's the news I got. Any news you want to talk about, or is Jacob really missing out on all the news?
It seems like he's missing out on all the news.
Oh, my God, Jacob. What the hell? Well, let's see. Reviews. Got to skip that one. Got to skip that one. Are you ready for reviews? Should we just, is there any news you want to talk about? Any stories on your end?
This is one of those weeks, man. It's just, I didn't keep up with anything. I vibed all week. Just, I exist. And that's it.
Oh, Carnage mentioning that Game Pass is going to be getting the game Going Under.
What is that?
No. I am looking. It is a satirical dungeon crawler where you explore the ruins of failed tech startups. I think this one's on my wish list, actually, from Team 17. Oh. Yeah, huh. I wanted this one. It came out back in September. I'm going to have to give this one a look when it hits next week. So cool. There you go.
The $20 game.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Well, should we get to review?
Let's go. We're trying to give them time and can't do it.
I know. What the fuck? All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Phantom Abyss, developed by Team Wibby, published by Devolver Digital, released June 21st on Steam for $24.99. Phantom Abyss is a massive asynchronous multiplayer game that casts players into procedurally generated temples and tasks them with retrieving the sacred relics hidden within the deadly chambers. Cole, we talked about this one during the E3 presentation. This caught our interest and a code came our way. You gave it a go. Did you win?
No.
Didn't think so.
But
did anyone win?
I would like to argue in my defense that part of the promise of the game is that there are ghosts to show you where they fail, right? But my code was early access, so who got to be the ghost?
You're the ghost.
I'm the ghost in so many people's games right now. There were a lot of temples I went into where I was either the first or the fifth person. It was actually kind of cool. And I feel bad for whoever's like following my ghost, because not having one to follow meant that I was like the first person looking for chests and keys and things like that. So like my ghost is just out there wandering around like
just aimless.
And I was in no hurry because there's no clock. Like people try to speed run it and that's all well and good, but you don't have to. That was one of the things I was actually kind of worried about with the game. I was like, fuck, if I got a speed run and I'm going to do terrible. But like, you can get your feet wet. You can just get in there and take your time and mosey around. Now, as you get through different floors and you make it closer and closer to the actual relic for that temple, it gets more difficult. And there will be a guardian of the temple who will start to like harass the shit out of you. The ever-loving shit out of you. Misery with the guardian. They will not give you a break. Some of them are certainly more problematic than others. There's one that throws heat lasers at you. As if you get a pull for a temple with that guardian, just go ahead and jump off something to start with. And be like, fuck this, I'm out. Because I don't know how anybody's going to do it. Now, there's another one that I ran into that was just like, it would leave noxious fumes behind.
And I was always like, fun.
Whatever, I don't give a fuck. I can see that and avoid it. You can't get away from them lasers, though. Another thing I was relieved with, I was pretty certain from the trailers and stuff that this was going to be, you have to speed run and you have to one-shot it, right? But thankfully, that's not actually the case. You can get health. You have 3 hearts to start with. Not everything that kills you is going to take off a whole heart. Sometimes you only lose half. You will lose that shit for fall damage, though, so do not get unruly. Do not think you can jump off everything. As I did. As long as you roll when you jump, you'll do fine. That does lead me to my one complaint. The dodge roll is not always as timely as it could be. There's an indicator that pops up for when you should push the button to do it, and that's incredibly helpful. But there were a lot of times where I would hit the button when the indicator popped up, and I'd still fall like a jackass and take damage. So it could use a little more finessing, because the timing on that is just not quite there. But that's really the only thing I could actively bitch about. Like everything else, I had so much fun. The temples are always different. You never go through the same one. They're a whole lot more forgiving than I was expecting them to be. And there are actually some really creative ways you can figure out how to get around the different obstacles. One, for example, was just a complete fall on each side, and then there was like a narrow walkway with two big hammers pointing dead at you. You could have took a run and go and slid under the hammers and got through, but that's risky. And if you only got a heart or a half a heart, you don't exactly want to take a dive at a couple of big-ass spiky hammers. You know what's a little safer? Jumping off the side into the abyss and then using your whip to pull you up the other side. Also risky, but you can count on that whip a lot better than you can the dive and the slide. So that's what I did, and I got around it, and I didn't take any damage.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, I'm so proud of myself, and I can't wait for somebody to see the ghost do that and then try to do it and fall to their death because they suck.
Oh, man. Well, the game is in early access right now. They are looking to spend at least a year in early access. They say the full version will contain more rooms, traps, zones, additional gameplay features. No word on if the price will increase, but it may go up. But right now, it's only $24.99. It's even on sale until July 8th for $19.99. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think if you're at all interested in this, now's the time to grab it. I also see, like, once this hits consoles, it being on Game Pass and just being, like, the perfect kind of Game Pass game because you don't have to play with people, but their ghosts are there, too, at the same time. And that would give it that would help fill out the servers with ghosts for these temples.
Oh, yeah.
That, Devolver. You know, hear me out here. But that's just something that by launching into early access on Steam, it just doesn't have that ready player base. And so even earlier today, it came out officially today on the 24th while we're reviewing it. And I was playing it again earlier, and I was still getting temples where I was only the first or second person. So, and that was several hours after launch.
Yeah, well, we could take another look at this next week if you want.
I would be down for it. Let's see if I can actually get past floor 3.
Sounds good.
Floor 3 is my current record, and I'm like so proud of myself.
Well, for now, what do you say?
I give it a buy it anyway, even as it is.
Cool.
It's so fun.
All right, next game to talk about is called Farm for Your Life, developed and published by Secret Item Games. Released June 24th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $19.99. It's a strange time management game. The lighthearted style of a casual game collides with elements. Horror genre. What the hell? My screen's cut off. Collides with elements which are usually seen only in horror genres. Discover the contrast which takes both genres for a wild ride. Thank you, computer, for cutting off my screen. Cole, tell us about your time with Farm for Your Life.
This game has so many elements of what I love, and yet it let me down so hard. I think because I had such high expectations, given what the foundation for it is, right? So it's a farming simulator type of game. Think Stardew Valley-ish or what have you, but it's actually 3D, kind of an isometric type of camera angle, not entirely top down. And you start off, you get to create your character. You can name them, make them look however you want. I really appreciate their character customization. It was way more robust than a lot of other pricier games. So kudos to them there. You get to create your character, and then you basically learn farming and how to sell your crops with your grandfather. And then that night a storm goes down, your farm gets destroyed, everybody's in the middle of the town after the storm, and oh no, zombies.
Okay.
But you weren't ready for that, were you?
Right.
Neither was I when one jumped out and got pappy. Bye, Grandpa. Spoiler alert. So, yeah. At that point, now, basically, you are living in a zombie apocalypse. You're alone with the farm. And there are a couple shithead townies who survived that will both help and hinder you throughout your survival efforts. Now, it's not just, hey, grow crops, sell them, buy more crops. There's an extra element here that they surprisingly leave out of all of like the summaries and stuff. You also have to run a restaurant in the apocalypse.
Which makes sense.
So you take your crops, and then you cook your crops, and then you sell them to the other townies. It was a surprise, and it was a lot of fun. I was like, this is great.
You want to know what else is great? That Jacob finally joined us.
30 minutes.
Yay.
Later. Yeah. Yeah.
This was not my fault, I swear to you all. And Joe has photographic proof it is not my fault.
It is very clearly your fault.
All right, so I mean, I did marry her, but that's like, it's not my fault. Did you already tell the listeners as to why I'm late?
Because you were installing pooping. An air conditioner.
Yeah, my wife decided to install an air conditioner like right as the kids were supposed to be going to bed.
So, Farm for Your Life, Cole, tell us some more about that.
So yeah, now you have your restaurant. The best part of it is that in order to make a recipe in the restaurant, you have to first learn it. First, you buy it. So then you buy the recipe, then you get to learn it. You go to the stove in the restaurant, or what is acting as your restaurant, and you have to play a Fruit Ninja-style mini game. But of course, we don't have Kinects anymore, yeah. So you have to do this the hard way by pressing down on the left analog stick, and then pressing a coordinating face button with a different vegetable so that it gets sliced down into the pot.
Wait, Cole, I have a question about this game. So you said you have to buy recipes? Like, are you able to discover recipes on your own, or do you just always have to buy the recipes?
I never discovered any on my own. I only was able to buy them.
Okay, I was just curious.
So... That does lead me, though, to my one big gripe. The game doesn't tell you shit about any of the restaurant stuff. It feels like it's so tacked on, and you have to just kind of, like, fumble your way through it. And I actually got frustrated enough that I put the game down and haven't gone back to it.
Ooh.
Because you have to have plates for your restaurant. The first couple of orders, the plates just kind of appear out of nowhere. You cook the recipe and it's on a plate. And I was like, okay, that's how we do this, right? And then the people would leave and the plates would be sitting there. And I was like, okay, now what? And then it got to a point where it's like, you don't have any plates. And I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. They're so- all on the floor. But it never tells you, like, how do you wash the plates? How do you put them back somewhere so that they're out of your way while you're, or can you just put them in your inventory? It doesn't tell you any of this shit. It didn't tell me how to actually play the mini game I just had to figure it out on the basis that, hey, I've played Fruit Ninja and I assume this is what I need to do. But like, and still it took me a couple tries to figure out I had to hold the down on the thumbstick to actually make it go down and not just explode on the wall. Like, there's not enough guidance for the restaurant side of the game to the point that it just feels like it was an afterthought and they were like, oh, well, we can do this, so we might as well. And it would be nice if they would at least explain some of the basics as far as that goes beyond just throwing you at it. In addition to that, speaking of throwing things, at night, the zombies come out of the woods. So you're managing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there's zombies in
there's
this, too.
There's zombies! So, see, I got the dog upset. So you're managing your farm, you're buying the seeds, planting the crop, watering the crop, collecting the crops. None of this shit is automated. And then you gotta go and you gotta cook the crop, learn the recipes, serve it up. And then you gotta figure out some fucking way you're supposed to clean the dishes, which I've never figured out. And then the zombies are there at night, and you have to stop the zombies from killing the people in town because they're the ones that come to your restaurant. And the only way you stop the zombies is you throw your food at them. How am I supposed to have food for the restaurant if I'm throwing it at the zombies all night?
So let me get this straight. So it's a farming sim, a restaurant sim, and a tower defense game?
Basically, yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It sounds like one of those jack of all trades, master of none.
Very much so. And the thing is, like, if it had just focused on a few details to really like hone in on and make those work well, I'd have been a lot happier. Maybe if they could have made, you can buy like upgrades for your restaurant. So maybe if they'd made it to where you could have had something automated that would like shoot at the zombies when they come out of the woods, and a little bit of automation in these kind of games goes a long way. And if I'm supposed to be like, you have to constantly water everything. How about you just let me have a damn sprinkler? You know, make these things that I can craft. And that gives me reasons to go looking for more resources. It gives me reasons to actually use the things that can be made. And it frees me up to actually do some of the other tasks that are integral to the game.
And it sounds like they just didn't know what they wanted to do with this one.
Yeah. And it's sad because I really think it's a cool idea. I like the whole idea of, you know, farm to table restaurant in a zombie apocalypse, but they need a little direction.
Yeah. Well, the game is $19.99. It is actually 20% off for the next 2 weeks on Xbox. So it could be down to $15.99 if you are interested. What are your thoughts on this game?
I can't recommend it at that price.
Oh.
And it's such a cool idea. Like, I'm hooked. I want to be in love with this game. It is the most ridiculous concept, right? But it's just so scattered. And just,
how do you fix it? What do you do?
Automation. But not even just that. Like, first off, explain how things actually are going to work. Like, it's nice to tell me how to put down a fence post, but I could figure out to press A eventually while I'm holding some wood. What you needed to teach me was how to wash my goddamn dishes. Or, you know, what, do I just trade them for clean ones? Like, I don't understand. Maybe if they just explain the mechanics that are there. And also clean them up a little bit so that it can be a little more streamlined and you have the actual time to go through and do everything.
Oh, man. Oh, well. Well, Jacob's here.
Woo!
We Vector talked Unit about all the
mousebot.
Yeah, Vector Unit canceled mousebot because you were late.
Oh, damn it. They wouldn't do that to me.
I think it is hilarious that this game...
Vector Unit loves me.
Yeah, I love how this news finally came out and you weren't here for us to discuss it.
Blame my wife. She's the one who's just like, all right, we're going to install this air conditioner right now. I have to be on in like 15 minutes. No, we can knock this out in 15 minutes, right? 1 hour later.
We have a rule in our house that nothing happens after 8 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Cole knows what's up.
Yeah.
No,
at,
I know
at the 8:15 mark, we go, okay, you all need to get settled. And the kids, like, go brush their teeth and get their water bottles filled. And by 8:30, everybody is chilled the fuck out, and I'm sitting here waiting.
Yeah, see, I mean, the thing is that, you know.
I'm actually good at this, and you're not.
Well, I was going to say, trying to get my wife to go along with that? Yeah, no. I fear her.
Oh, Lord. Well, you're at least here to do two reviews. Are you excited for that?
I mean, other than this, if I didn't have this cold, I would be.
Oh, you're not allowed to bitch about being sick.
Well, all right. After your ordeal, I mean, yeah, that was pretty bad. I guess you already discussed, you discussed that on Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah, and today earlier.
Wow.
This is like day three of this shit, and I'm so tired of it. That was beautiful. Next game to talk about is called Tie the Tasmanian Tiger 2 Bush Rescue HD. Developed and published by Chrome Studios. Released June 23rd on Xbox One. June 30th on PS4 for $29.99. More rangs, more vehicles, more mechs, more everything in an open world Aussie adventure. There might even be a few surprises. Jacob, tell us about your time with Tie the Tasmanian Tiger 2. Hello?
Did he die?
Hello? Hey.
There you are.
Oh, okay. That was weird. So I never actually got into the series when it first debuted way back in the day, which is almost 20 years ago, which is kind of crazy when you think about this kind of stuff. And so I went into this game knowing that, you know, it was going to be like a similar game to like Crash or Spyro, but didn't really know anything else. And so you're playing Ty, who, you know, is a Tasmanian tiger, as the title would tell you. A lot of alliteration there.
Yeah.
Anyway. And so the game starts off with you and your friends, and like the town is being attacked. And so, of course, you have to go off and stop them. And it tries introducing, you know, the various, it acts like a tutorial with the opening stuff, you know, this is how you run, this is how you jump, this is how you look at things. It also introduces the mechs in there, and also, like, when you hop into, like, an AA gun to shoot down these enemy dropships and stuff like that. And it is a... It is an action platformer from 2004. You know, yeah. it is a product of its time. And so, yes, the graphics are not the best. The gameplay, you know, which was fine for its time, is a little, it feels a little clunky, but still very workable. And then after you beat the initial part, you're dropped off into this hub world, which the game is then just like, all right, have fun. Which you can do a bunch of missions to advance the story. There's also side quests that you can do. And the side quests are nice because they have you exploring other areas of the hub world, but also they explain different mechanics and stuff like that, which you can then use with the upcoming missions, or you can even replay previous missions to do better on and just get more money if you need it. With money, you can earn new costumes, you can earn different boomerang. They're not really upgrades, it's just they're just straight up different boomerangs. Like like one is like what
just how that was barely cut off. That not just go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying, man. This cold is hell. Anyway. So it's just like, there's like a fire boomerang, there's an ice one, you know, and there's like, it's the standard stuff that you would expect. So there's just like, you're going through the different missions, it like introduces like, you know, you can also like swim, and it's pretty much, like I said, it's the standard action platformer stuff that you'd expect from one, you know, made after 1995. So with that being said, I don't know how much has really been touched up since the original release. I mean, as I said, everything looks fine. It's like the AA gun bit at the beginning took me a couple of tries just because I was trying to, like, there was an order that you're supposed to do everything and that I didn't quite get. My only real gripe about the game, though, to be honest, is that the map is insanely unhelpful in telling you where you're supposed to go. And I realize it's like, oh, you're supposed to run around and discover stuff. Yeah, but I'd also like to know what the next step really is. Because I ended up replaying like that opening level a bunch of times just like accidentally because the game was just like, oh, you want to do this? Okay, great. I'm like, no, I don't. Oh, damn it. And so it's just, as I said, like, that's really the only change I'd make for it. If you're a fan of, like, Spyro, Crash, any of those guys from way back in the day, like, Ty is right at home with that kind of stuff. Like, it's a solid title. Like,
well, you know. It's $30. I'm kind of concerned that that's a little on the higher side price-wise. I know the first game was the same.
I'm in agreement with that. $30 is a little too high for this. I'd be a little bit more comfortable with 20, even though I am known to be a complete cheap ass about everything.
Yeah, you are a cheap ass.
I would have been fine with $20 as a price tag for this game. 30 is a little bit much for it, but as I said, like, I mean, if you're a big fan of those games or you're just waiting for the next thing, you know, Ty will definitely scratch that itch for you. In terms of newcomers, the map thing is a little bit daunting, and you may have to use an online guide for it, which I did. But otherwise, you know, it's a good one. I'd recommend waiting for a sale, but, you know,
worth playing.
Yeah, it's definitely worth playing. I'd recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up is Gallic Wars Battle Simulator, developed by Mad Gamesmith, published by Ultimate Games, released June 16th on Xbox One for $4.99. Gallic Wars is a roguelike tactical strategy game, fast gameplay, crazy ragdoll physics, and challenging roguelike game approach to strategy. Fight your way through Roman legions, deploy your troops, plan their movement, use magic and items to give yourself an edge, and win. Jacob, did you win?
No.
Neither did Ian.
Yeah, but I mean, he visited you, so I mean that he lost on multiple fronts.
He did. He did.
So yeah. Now, did you play this? You played this too, right?
Yeah. Ian and I played. We put like 2-3 hours into it the one night.
Yeah. So pretty much, this is. I don't think it's the first battle simulator game I've ever played, but it. I haven't played many, but so pretty much you are tasked with the, like, you are the Gauls, the Gallic warriors, who are going to sack Rome, and you have to do it by, you know, building up your troops, going into battle, positioning your troops before the battle, and, you know, figuring out where you want everyone to be. The tutorial does a very good job of verbally explaining everything that needs to be done. However, it does, like, it barely tells you what buttons actually need to be pushed to do what, how you do such a thing, why such a thing matters, and also the map ends up being too big that, you know, you end up having to search for what the tutorial was trying to tell you. Oh, hey, this is what you need to be doing. This is where you need to be at. The tutorial was painfully bad. I ended up having to play it multiple times just so I could get, like, the idea of what the controls were and how everything worked. And I can tell you right now, I still don't have a good grasp on it. I don't think the tutorial level was very well put together. Now, with the game itself, you know, obviously there is strategy to it. You know, it's like, and you need to figure out where you're going to put your guys with shields, where you're going to put your guys with spears, where you're going to put your guys with arrows. But it really felt, to me, that, like, you know, the game tried to introduce some mechanics like, oh, well, you can have guys hide in here, and then, you know, or you can you need to have them facing this way, and then they'll attack, you know, that way.
I know one of Ian's big gripes was actually activating items like battering rams or like trebuchets.
It felt like nothing mattered. It felt like nothing mattered. It was just like, all right, everyone's just going to go off and do what they want to do, and hopefully, like, I actually had a battle where the Romans and the Gauls never actually met up. Like, they just completely bypassed each other.
Nice.
And it's just like, and my guy, like, it didn't matter, like, how much I tried guiding, you know, where stuff to go. It's just, it was a really frustrating game. And it's just like, I watched the preview for it, and I watched some of the gameplay, and it's just like, all right, this looks neat. I really wanted to like this. I like the style of it. I liked, you know,
yeah, it's got a great visual style though. I like the cartoony look. Like the ragdoll physics. Everyone is a fan of ragdoll.
When,
come on.
The ragdoll physics, like when the battles were working, it was a lot of fun to watch it, but also the battles were over way too quickly. Any of my successful battles. And you know, it just felt like, you know, you put all this time in to try to figure it out, and then boom, it's over. And then with the battle, you have the ability, like, once it seems like you've completed all your objectives, the game gives you the option, do you want to keep fighting, or do you want to move on to the next thing? And if you keep fighting, then you have a chance to earn more riches and all this other kind of stuff. But if you move on to the next thing, then it just, you know, moves you on to the next scenario. And so I guess that's where really the only roguelike thing comes into play, because, like, if you stick around for your battle, you can still, or after you finish your objectives, you could actually still lose that battle by still getting wiped out by, like, a later wave of Romans, and then it's game over. And so it's just like, so there's your roguelike element, I guess.
But it's just, reward, I guess, too.
Yeah, and it's just, I was... I wish the gameplay was solid, and I wish the tutorial was helpful. and I wish that the controls felt like they actually did anything. Because I really wanted to like this game, but I just, no.
Well, on the bright side, it's only $5. What do you say?
I still say no.
No?
Not even at $5? Not even at $5. I'm sorry. Like, if they fix this up a decent amount, then yeah, it would be an automatic hell yeah.
Just, but what do you think would help it? A better tutorial?
A better tutorial, definitely, because I mean, there was one point where it was just like, oh, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay. And I tried doing what they had told me to do, and all I did was keep getting feedback from my controller saying, like, nope, that's the wrong button. Nope, that's the wrong button. And it didn't matter which button I pushed or any combination. And on top of it, the game wouldn't tell me, like, what I needed to push. Hmm. So it's like, the tutorial was bad, but also it's just, I think it felt like all the time spent on this was getting the look of it right and getting the ragdoll physics right, and everything else just felt secondary. Like,
oh, wow.
I really wish I could have liked this game, but it just, no. Yeah, sorry.
This was a weird one. I know Ian and I had I don't want to say a rough time with it, but we had a confusing time with it. There was just a lot of times where we weren't understanding why things were happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know. $5, I would still give it a hesitant fuck it, why not, if you're interested in even an easy beginning achievement. Wasn't there like a quick easy one at the very beginning?
Yeah, you get one for getting one of the leaders.
Yeah. So,
and also there is a tutorial achievement. Have fun.
There you go. All right, well, Jacob, that's it for you.
Oh, I mean, I could review that third game too if you wanted me to.
Next week.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's fine then. Other than that, I've really got nothing else to say.
Cool.
Just sick, and I'm going to go pass out.
Well, have fun.
Thanks.
Hey, bye.
Bye. Bye, Cole.
Bye.
Aw, she said bye to me.
Go fuck away, crybaby.
There we go.
See, he pushed me. He stayed around too long, and I couldn't stop it.
There's the kindness that we know and love.
The kind-hearted Cole.
Fuck off. All right. Later, guys.
Oh, God. Laters. All right. Next game to talk about is called Sable's Grimoire, developed by Zetsubo Games, published by Gamuzumi, released June 10th on Xbox One for $14.99. Play as Sable, an aspiring magic researcher, as he gets sucked into the daily lives and troubles of his demi-human classmates. Will Sable manage to survive at this clearly dysfunctional academy? Cole, tell us about your time with Sable's Grimoire.
I played a visual novel and I actually read it.
What?
I didn't just skip it for the achievements. Look at me.
Hey, you did that with the vampire one too.
I did, which goes to show that when there is a topic or a plot that's interesting enough, I can get sucked into it. So, for Sable's Grimoire, we pretty much had the right kind of foundation.
Fucking yeah!
We have a young man named Sable who discovers that he has magical abilities, and he's been accepted into this academy, which is very Hogwarts and Harry Potter-ish, to be honest. He goes to the train station to catch the train to the academy, and he meets a girl named Ray, and then once
I know
he
what
gets
else is magical.
A sub.
No Time for Games subbing for 36 months.
3 years. Sucker.
What the hell? What the hell? Like, we're starting preschool soon.
Wow.
we're almost program. 8. No, we are 8. We're starting preschool.
We're 8.
We're slow. We started very, very slow. We are. We didn't do well.
We couldn't pass.
We got in a lot of fights. It's behavioral.
How
were things at this academy? Because my school sucked, apparently.
It's your typical monster girl riddled school, right? Like, it's kind of what you would expect for a visual novel in that regard. It's not overly romantic. I'd go so far as to say that the main character, Sable, is actually aromantic. And that's what drew me in a little more, because he was really fucking oblivious if anybody was trying to flirt with him or whatever. And most of the time, you could just be like, no, and just run away. And I appreciate that. There's several different plot points. I don't want to get into them because I don't want to spoil anything, because I will open my big mouth and do exactly that if I'm not careful. Art-wise, the environments are fucking incredible. They're really well done. Character design is...
Anime chins.
So close. So far away. There's an insane amount of dialogue that can happen in this game. That is both a blessing and a curse. I think you said it was, what, 400,000 lines? Was that right? Something like that.
Let me see if I can.
It's an absurd.
Yeah, 400,000 word count with dozens of choices to be made. It seems like there should be a couple more than a dozen choices.
There were more than I was expecting, but not as many as I was expecting also. Make sense?
Yeah.
Because when I'm playing it, I'm like, oh, that's going to be one. And then it wasn't. And I was like, oh, run away. Run away.
More story than Destiny.
but I will say a lot of it was kind of repetitious. And they could have... I tend to be in that school of thought of, we're playing a video game, a visual novel, show, don't tell. So there were a lot of things that they could have just, like, said once or shown in one of the scenes or something, and that would have been fine. But instead, they'll repeat it over and over. Oh, well, sometimes the humans are almost as strong as the elves, and then, like, 5 minutes later, it's, remember, sometimes humans are as strong as elves. And I'm like, I'm not an idiot. I can keep up.
I'm an idiot, so I can't
really
keep up.
You don't really got to drive that into my head like that. I got it. Humans can be as strong as elves with enough practice. Cool.
Can they?
Certain. It depends. It's like a whole long ass algorithm.
Aki is pissed that she didn't get this, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I honestly didn't realize what kind of game this was when I offered it up.
Yeah.
So I was thrown off that this was a visual novel. I thought this was more, like, I don't know what the hell I thought it was.
I was expecting more. You know how, like, some of the visual novels, like Nicole, where you actually have to, like, go through the day and make choices like that. I was expecting some of that, and there really wasn't any of that as far as this game goes. However, there are a ton of choices. And there are a ton of different storylines and plot points. You can get, it can be an entirely different game depending on one choice, right? Usually when you're playing a visual novel like that, like if you make one choice and you get a shitty outcome or something, you're stuck with it. And that's that. You just have to roll with it and start all over from scratch. But I really like that for Sable's Grimoire. What they've done is there's actually a button on the menu called Roots, R-O-U-T-E-S, that kind of root. Mm-hmm. And you can actually click that and get a layout of all the possible scenarios.
Oh, wow.
And then you can go back to ones you've experienced and start the game from there to get its offshoots.
That is cool.
So you can actually just... Once you've gone through, like, the whole game, you can basically just pick and choose where you want to start off, do a new decision, and get a whole different story. I really like that. It was far more acceptable. I don't know why that's not a thing in every visual novel, because that was brilliant. It made getting to see more of the story enjoyable, rather than having to just repeat and go through and hope that you skipped all the text that you'd already seen. A lot of times the issue when you set it to skip text is like, okay, it skips the text that you've already seen, but it'll keep going and you'll be like, oh wait, I didn't actually see that part, and you're already like smashing the button to go on. You're annoyed because you missed something that you wanted to. This way you know when you start this is where I've not seen things from, and I'm going to make the different choices to see new stuff, so you're not missing out on it. So I really like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like you enjoyed this one.
I have nothing but good things to say.
Cool. So $15, what is your verdict?
Buy it. It's a good one. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Cool beans. Yeah. Next game to talk about is called Mix-Ups by Paugi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released June 16th on Xbox One for $7.99. The mixed-up anagram puzzle where three connected words are hidden among a jumble of letters. There's only one solution that uses every letter once, and it's more challenging than you might think. Cole, how is your time with Mix-Ups by Paugi?
It really is more challenging than you would think. I was not ready for this to be that fucking hard. I love word games, letter games. I love pretty much all the other Paugi games at this point have been like super winners in my book. So this one was a no-brainer. Unfortunately, this one, the difficulty of it does slow me down. And I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not my favorite Paugi game. They have better options. As far as this one goes, there's a jumble of letters on the side of the screen. And then before you do that, though, you have to pick your category. And the categories are things like shapes and body parts and sharp objects. They're very vague, but that's your clue. Because every word that you need to spell is going to include the letters on the side, but they're also going to be related to that category. Each category, there's 135 of them. Each category has 6 puzzles in it. So that's, quick math, a fuck ton of puzzles.
Yes, yeah, 600, more than 600 handcrafted puzzles.
Yeah, 785, somewhere in there.
Jeez, something crazy.
Yeah, close to 800. We'll go with that. But yeah, somebody's gonna like laugh at my math on that, and it's okay. I take enough Vicodin that I don't care. but yeah, each puzzle, each section has 6 puzzles, and each puzzle has 3 words that you need to spell. So by the end of the day, you've done a lot of spelling. Now, the reason I keep saying that this is surprisingly difficult compared to the other ones is that you can press LB and RB to get a hint. You will only get 3 hints per puzzle, and the hint will only give you the first letter in each word.
Yep.
So basically, it doesn't do jack shit.
It's a hint. It gives you a hint. That's what it does. It's not supposed to give you the answer. It's supposed to give you a hint. It doesn't
even give me a hint. Because if I'm sitting there staring at the clues, and the clue is it's a palindrome, I'm not ever going to think of what was the one? It was like Wi-Fi or some shit like that. Not Wi-Fi. It was literally W-E-F-E-E or something like that. And, like, some of the solutions are really fucking weird. And later puzzles even have words that have spaces in the middle of them. So you can find yourself sitting there going, I have no fucking clue. I have no fucking clue where I'm supposed to be going with this. And I've got one letter to help me out at the very beginning, and that's it. So you can definitely be sitting there staring at these for a while. I would have liked to have seen the hint, rather than just giving me a letter, maybe giving me some other kind of clue to help figure it out. Especially in the ones that are like 2-word phrases as opposed to just a word. Because if you just have the first letter and it's multiple words for a solution, fuck off. Good luck with that. You know?
Yeah, it's definitely not the easiest Paugi game out there, but it's if you're a fan of anagram games, I think you're gonna find a lot to like here. And I mean a lot to like, because there's a lot of puzzles.
I really did like, I know I'm being kind of harsh on it, but yeah, I know it sounds like I'm being harsh on it. I did enjoy it. I was just so shockingly frustrated. It was a difficulty I don't expect from a Palkia game. No. So for some people, that difficulty might be a welcome change. Or you can just find all the solutions online because it's been on PlayStation and you can get all the solutions and get the achievements and be done with it. Whatever floats your boat. But, you know, if you're
thanks, true achievements.
Yeah, do as you will, you know. But
well, $7.99 on this one, what do you say?
I still think it's fun and I still think it's plenty worth the cost, and I didn't dislike it, even though I was surprised it was more difficult. So I still give it a buy it.
Cool.
Even though it sounds like I was shitting on it.
It's definitely one of the more unique Palgi games.
Drink.
Yep. Doing it. And it's Baja Blast, because that's back.
I'm still drinking Dr. Pepper and cream soda.
I'm telling you, if you want it, I meant to say this last time, but if you're wanting just Pineapple Mountain Dew, it's Maui Burst, and it's the Dollar General exclusive.
Dollar General exclusive.
Yeah. Well, it was Dollar General exclusive. I don't know if it still is or not, but our Dollar General has it regularly. It's pretty good.
I'm going to have to send David after it for me.
Yeah, here it is. Maui Burst. Dew with a blast of pineapple flavor.
I do like pineapple. I'm the kind of person who just opens a can of pineapples and eats it. So, although if I'm feeling particularly fresh, then I will at least get like a fresh pineapple cut from the deli. But I also
you're feeling frisky.
Feeling unruly there. But I usually just like... I keep, because I'm the only person in the house that eats them, and I can't eat, I can only eat so much before I get sick and it goes bad. But I just keep cans of pineapples on the shelf and just go in there and crack a pineapple and be like, well, this is lunch.
Nice.
So, yeah, Pineapple Mountain Dew sounds like it would be right up my alley.
It's pretty good. They're trying to call Aki, get her in here.
Uh-huh. I exist.
Yay, it worked.
Yeah. Sorry, that took so long. I was grabbing my food.
Yeah, complain. What kind of food?
I made some pasta.
Pasta what?
Just rigatoni with spaghetti sauce and meatballs. I'm just doing basic shit.
Sometimes basic is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to argue. Spaghetti and meatballs is some good shit.
Yeah. I just don't like spaghetti noodles themselves, so I get rigatoni instead.
Oh. Get the alphabet ones.
Do they actually sell alphabet noodles?
I'm pretty sure you could buy, yeah.
Huh.
They're smaller, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
That just means I get more food.
All right, well, you do have a game to talk about. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I am.
All right, final game to discuss tonight is called Labyrinth City, Pierre the Maze Detective, developed by Darjeeling, published by Pixmane, released June 22nd on Steam for $11.99, coming to Switch later this summer, possibly other platforms as well. Adapted from the best-selling children's book series Pierre the Maze Detective, play as Pierre in this adventure puzzle game and recover the stolen maze stone. Journey through breathtakingly hand-drawn illustrations, meet eccentric characters, and solve puzzles to save Opera City. Aki, tell us about your time with Labyrinth City, Pierre the Maze Detective.
Okay. Well, first thing I like to point out is this game made me feel good about myself. Because Pierre, he's a detective, and all he's good at is solving mazes. I feel pretty damn useful. Being compared to that, I mean, I feel pretty proud of myself. I can do more than that. Well, apparently he has an arch nemesis named Mr. X. And Mr. X has stolen a magical maze tome that makes everything a maze. I don't really understand it. They don't explain it because it's a children's thing. So you're trying to catch him, and you have 10 levels where you're trying to catch him, and in the end, you don't catch him, but you do get the, maze tome back, so there's a plus at least, because, you know, just like the Joker, they always got to get away, or get out.
Speaking of a Joker, Carnage is asking, is the game, amazing?
I'd like to say yes, but I don't like lying, so...
And after that, we don't like carnage either.
No. No. That was not what made me not like carnage. There were puns a long time ago that made me not like carnage. I think it was the second or third one he ever made. When I saw this, I thought it was going to be more of a hidden object thing, because that's what it was. One of its tags was a hidden object puzzle game. So I was thinking something akin to like an Artifex Mundi type hidden object thing. This is very not that, and I'm very thankful of that after I started playing, because the levels are fucking huge. Every one of the 10 levels is its own little area. And when I say little, I mean very generously. I'm saying little. It is not little. The first one is you're in the museum where the tome was stolen, and you have pages of a diary that you can collect. There's 4 in every level. They're from Mr. X's diary. There's 4 chests in every level for you to collect special items. And there's a little mini game in each that you can complete for a trophy, which all get counted for an achievement for collecting everything in the level. And then at the end for collecting all of them in the game. And basically, all you're doing is you're trying to find these things, collect them, and moving from place to place within the level to talk to certain characters in order to get to Mr. X and chase him into the next level. For instance, the first one was like the mayor was the first person you had to get to, and then you had to get to another person, and then another person as you followed what they said to get to Mr. X. Because they were like, oh, this person over here might have information. Then they'd send you to that person. You get there, you talk to them, and they're like, yeah, I think I saw him over there. This person would have more information. So you go over to that person, and then you talk to them, and they're like, oh yeah, Mr. X was over here. And then you'd go and you'd find Mr. X, and then he'd run off like a little bitch. And you'd chase after him. Even though you were a few steps behind, he somehow got like a mile ahead of you every time. And that's a good chunk of the game. You don't really have to find any objects in the game, really. You just have to find your way through the maze that's been created. And the maze is inevitably, you know, people that don't get the fuck out your way, even though you're a detective working with the police. They just stand there because,
Hey, they do what they want. ACAB, yeah. Right?
I guess. Everything here is built to be a puzzle anyways, which kind of makes me wonder what the hell the point of the puzzle tome is. Because literally, the NPC characters, they even mention, you know, once a long time ago, everything used to be straight lines and everything was, you know, parallel and perpendicular to each other, and all the roads were like that. And yeah, it was functional, but it wasn't very pretty. So we changed that. And it's like, okay, so you made everything a maze. What the hell is the maze tome actually doing at that point? Because everything's already like a maze. I don't get it. It doesn't explain that, because you're after it this whole time. But once that's told to you, it's like, then it's not changing the world to be fucky. And that's why you have to go through all this weird shit to get to him. Then what the hell does it do? It's just a big block of stone at that point.
The game is $12. What do you think of it?
I'm not for this one. It gets, because it's just a lot of repetitive stuff, it ends up getting boring pretty quickly. It's interesting to see each level at the very beginning, but it gets boring real quick, which is a shame. I'm gonna have to say pass on this one.
We've had a few stinkers this episode. That's a bummer.
Yeah,
it happens.
It's not often we get deny it's, but that's what, three?
Yeah, I think three or four. Yeah.
3 out of 7. That's ooh, Bad episode.
Yeah.
It's cursed.
Damn.
It's all Jacob's fault.
If only I had
it wouldn't have happened if Jacob had been here.
Visual novel that had a cute dragon girl in it.
Oh, if only you had Scarlet Nexus too. How about that one?
Don't make
that
me
is such
more.
A motherfucker. Oh my god. Yeah, we'll be talking about that one in like 2 weeks on the show. For now, we'll be covering Scarlet Nexus for us because he has a PlayStation. Sorry, Aki. I try. Mm.
So now I have 3 people on my shit list here. Okay. Cole, you're not the only one now. Be happy. Now it's you, Jacob, and Purnell. It's amazing.
The list grows. Does anyone have any final words to end this episode?
Shit lists.